This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, here's the clip that you asked me to put this in the theme song, and I refused because it was unrelated to punching anything. But because it gets you hype, I'll play you this clip.
Utah, give me two.
It's from the movie Point Break, where Gary Busey's asking Keanu Reeves to get him two meatball subs instead of one.
He wants a meatball sub so bad, he asks him to get him two from
Utah,
his favorite.
Give me two.
Is it just Gary Busey's voice that gets you so hyped up, or is it the thought of getting two meatball subs?
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this on mic.
You're juicy for Busey, though.
Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam, where this week we will be dissecting with our favorite Miami native, Gloria Estefan, and the Miami Sound Machine's smash hit, Conga.
Let's punch it up.
Utah.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. While you beat your beat. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. Beat your beat. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it.
Give me two.
I guess you could interpret it as give me two punches. This week, our guest is Gigi Lee, an incredibly funny writer. You've seen her work in the New York Times and especially the New Yorker. Gigi, welcome to the pod.
Hi, thank you.
Is it hip now to call a New Yorker humor piece a shout, or is it still a shout and murmur?
I think the online pieces are referred to as daily shouts.
A daily shout.
Yes, and the print is shouts and murmurs.
But I saw you had a daily shout about What If Emily in Paris was directed by David Lynch.
Yes, I imagined season two. Because for some reason, I just thought Emily in Paris, it would go well with David Lynch's sensibility. Mm-hmm. Received a lot of interesting emails from men after that piece came out. Apparently, David Lynch has a lot of male fans.
Yeah. Sure.
A lot of male fans being like, you get David Lynch, I get David Lynch. No one else gets David Lynch but the two of us. Do you want to talk about David Lynch with me over email?
One man actually was like, I live in Canada, but I would love to come visit New York sometime.
No.
Yeah, and then he was like, I haven't been there since 1965.
Whoa!
Well, that's an exciting reveal.
I think I met my future boyfriend.
In addition to your comedy bona fide, the other reason you're here, and I think we all know it, is because you're a native of Miami, Florida.
Yes, I am a Miami girl. People are usually surprised to find that out because I am Korean. And yes, there are Asian people in Miami. I think namely just my family. it seemed that way in the
80s. That was your personal experience.
This might shock you because, like, frankly, remembering it shocked me. Like, I did not even think I would mention this on the podcast. I forget this about myself often, but I, too, am a Florida man.
Wait, what?
I know.
I
forget it until every time I open up my passport and then my passport just says origin Florida.
What's your Florida connection?
So I think of myself as being like Evan and I have talked about this on the podcast. We grew up in this very small Appalachian college town in Virginia.
Radford, Virginia, specifically.
For 1 year, our family lived in Florida. And it was that very year that I was born and became a Florida man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you were brought up. Forever, that is your birthplace, period. It goes on the back, on the passport, you're from Florida, period.
Yeah, you just hope that even if I'm arrested in New York, that if there's an article about it in the New York Times or the Daily Post, it's just like, Florida man does crime.
And somehow an alligator is involved.
Most of my understanding of the city of Miami is from watching election returns on election nights and also watching the television program / telenovela Jane the Virgin.
Yes, so, which I loved.
Definitely not filmed in Miami. Definitely filmed on a set. Is it a fair representation of culture in Miami? Only you can answer that question.
I grew up in a time when, like, South Beach wasn't a thing yet. I feel like South Beach, like, became popular in, like, I want to say, like, late 90s, early 2000s. So, like, in the 80s, early 90s, like, South Beach was, like ghost town. It's, like, retirees, like, old motels.
That's amazing. So you're saying there was a pivot point at which it became a, like, global brand for, like, this is a really sexy beach and great vacation spot?
Yeah, where it was, like, the new, like, Riviera.
Yeah, and then flash forward 15 years, LeBron James is taking his talents to South Beach. Then everybody wants to go.
Everyone wants to go.
You're growing up in Miami, and you're just like, this is a local, sleepy little beach. But it's not a place that jet setters are going to.
Exactly. So that's why I think it was, like, so exciting to have someone like Gloria and Emilio Estefan in Miami, because it seemed like oh, this is the closest thing we have to, like, I mean, they are celebrities. So it was, I mean, so exciting that they were from Miami.
Is it crazy? I mean, we're saying, like, South Beach was not a thing in the 80s.
Right.
South Beach was a thing in the 90s. Is it possible that perhaps the driver of the transformation of Miami was the Miami Sound Machine?
Was the Miami,
was
the
Miami Sound or the Miami Sound Machine?
There was just no sound prior
that,
to that.
It's not too far to say that. I'm willing to go out on a limb as a white guy who's not from Miami and say, yes, that was the catalyst. And you can draw a direct line from this song that we're about to talk about, Conga. You could draw a direct line from that to the Miami Heat winning world championship of the NBA with LeBron James.
I mean, these are worldwide smash hits. They're crossing over from, like, you know, Latin culture to American culture to just, like, random Europeans that love to dance. I mean, does any culture love dance music more than Europeans? And the next thing you know, some Dutch Amsterdamian, is that a thing? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, South Beach, that's a place people go, right? And is flying in to find, like, a bunch of retirees in a bunch of white beach chairs.
Yeah, and then suddenly, like, a nightclub pops up and, like, young people want to go. Yeah, when I was in high school, like, all I wanted to do was get into a nightclub on South Beach. Like, that was, like, the coolest.
What was your thing. What sort of strategies did you employ?
I didn't get to go because my parents were very strict, and but apparently you could be, like, 15, 16 and get into a nightclub there, which seems, like, crazy to me now. But I remember friends would, like, talk about, they'd come to school on Monday morning, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, I was at, like, Carbon Club," or there was, like, a foam party. And there was just this, like, nightlife that I didn't get to, like, participate in.
Were you ever able to sneak out, get in?
Oh, no. Yeah, I wasn't cool enough.
You didn't employ the level of deceit required to sneak out of your bedroom window and get to the foam party.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with going to the foam party is, like, you can sneak out to the foam party, but it's very hard to sneak in from the foam party because there's just going to be telltale signs. Mm-hmm. Even if your parents sleep through it, it's like you sat down on the couch when you got in and now it's covered with suds and mud because you always, like, weirdly have mud on yourself after a foam party. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've just been to outdoor foam parties and Miami foam parties are indoors, but, you know, yeah.
Well, I think we should go to one, like, maybe after we record this and, like, check it out.
Yes, I mean, 100%.
Do they still have foam parties?
I don't know that foam parties exist anymore. It feels like they had a moment. I'm not aware of any.
Were they big in Virginia?
Foam parties, no. But we could maybe throw our own foam party after this recording and just do sort of like a clinical trial. Like, is this fun? And also, can I sneak back into my house?
Yes.
Having been fully foamed.
Yeah, I'd love to know if I was, like, missing out on this experience.
Yeah, what were you missing out?
Growing up.
Yeah, I suspect that it's maybe not that great. Like, things get really squishy and your shoes are soaked.
Foam parties are just to, like, obfuscate that people are dry humping, right?
Oh, is that what's going on?
I mean, I'm not sure, but there must just be, like, you fill up a room with foam, and then it's just sort of like, what happens in the foam party stays in the foam party, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. And also, just great opportunities for doing really hilarious Santa Claus impressions.
Wow.
Look at me. Ho, ho, ho. I'm from the North Pole, and I love dancing to Avicii.
Which is a great way to get a girl from across the room to come over and dry hump you. Now, did you
I feel
ever
like Gloria would not approve of the foam parties that you're describing.
Did you ever go home as an adult, Gigi, and you were like, now, as a 23-year-old, as a 25-year-old, as a 28-year-old, I'm going out to that dance club that I was never allowed to go to?
Yeah, I was like, why? I want to go to a nightclub on South Beach. I did go, and they're not as, like, cool as I thought they would be. It's like
what?
A lot of people standing around. I hope I don't get any, like, hate mail from, like, South Beach nightclub enthusiasts.
You're blackballed. You're going to be blackballed from all of the South Beach
clubs. Don't worry. It's us that'll get the hate mail for your guest appearance.
But apparently,
how dare she, says nightclub owner Enrique from South Beach.
Apparently nightclubs are not that fun.
You missed your window.
Yeah.
You missed your window. I think you have to
be really young to, like, appreciate, like, crowds. And
I can confidently say as a middle-aged man that I hate crowds. Yeah, so I guess what better lens to discover the true culture of Miami for us two folks that did not grow up there than this massive hit song, Conga by Gloria Estefan. This is the song that changed a generation, that brought a generation of Russian oligarchs to buy condos in South Beach, that brought future world champion LeBron James.
And Chris Bosh. Don't forget Chris Bosh. He
yes.
also, Dwayne Wade was already there. Chris Bosh came for the conga.
And skilled role player Chris Bosh as well?
Role player. Chris Bosh is a star. But without further ado, let's hear it. Let's hear Conga by Gloria Estefan and the Sound Machine.
Oh my gosh, just right on the horn hits. You know where you are.
Oh yeah, this piano part is my favorite. Yeah. Like this, you hear this and you're like, I need to get out of my seat and start dancing.
Yes.
And just the announcement. Let me pause it. Like no matter how many songs have just played that you did not want to be up, you just hear that horn hit right at the top. Ba, ba, ba. You're up. You know what. You know what's on.
You spring out of your chair. The chair has gone flying across the room and possibly broke into smithereens.
Like you could be at a funeral or a wake, and if you hear that song, come on, you're like, I'm sorry, I gotta just start dancing.
Yes, I will 100% play this at a wake, and I wouldn't be confident that the corpse wouldn't jump up.
I've talked a lot in our walk-in segment about how I feel like every walk-in song should start with a strong instrumental moment, and I think maybe in a future episode, I'm going to pick this as my walk-in song at a wake. You know, everybody's kind of down. Everybody's crying, and then it's just like, bam, bam. You're just in conga line.
Oh, grandma pops out of her chair. No question.
I want everyone to like form a conga line. I want them to break out the bongos, play the song. Yeah.
No one in the world can deny the power of that opening lick. The horns bringing it in, and then Gigi, you were talking about the piano part.
Oh my God, it's just so rousing.
Yeah,
you don't have a lot of rousing intro moments. I feel like I don't know. Clearly, I haven't listened to a lot of music.
I think one thing I love is that, like, this is like it's like the signature Cuban style of like Cuban jazz. Basically, is to have this piano part that just like has the driving rhythm the whole time. And if you really boil this whole song down, just throw it in the pot of boiling water and boil off all of the fat of amazing horn hits and solos and lyrics and whatever. The song is basically only two notes. The song is just boom, boom, boom. Bump, bump, and the piano is outlining that with like amazing rhythm, the like clave bell rhythm of bunch, bunch, bump, bunch, bunch, bump, bump. And so when it comes in, you're just like immediately moving. That goes through the whole song, and the whole song is about just like basically adding and subtracting things to that. The chord changes never change the whole time, and you don't care.
Going back and listening to this song to get ready for our ep, I'd always thought of this as being like a really synthesizer-driven like 80s song, and even like the name of the band, the Sound Machine, like to me says like synthesizer. And when I listen to it a little more carefully, like one thing that I love about it is kind of like you have these really synthy timbales and congas, and then you have like this super, super real piano. Like the piano is so real. And I looked it up. And, like, all the people in the Sound Machine are in their 20s, right? You know, Gloria Estefan, this is actually their ninth album.
Oh, this
is only their second English-speaking album, right? So they've, like, done a ton of albums in Spanish. This is their second English-speaking album. This is their first hit.
The breakout hit.
This is their breakout hit. But they're all, like, younger people that met in Miami. She met her husband.
Is he in the band?
He's the producer.
Yes. She met her husband, Emilio Estefan, at like a church event. They saw each other again at a wedding. He was in the band. She sang a song with the band. And he immediately put her in the band and changed the name of the band. That's like how...
I love it.
He was like, Gloria
this is
Estefan,
so extremely
you're in the
wholesome.
Band. And the name of the band had boys in it. So he was like, no longer can we be boys. We are the sound.
We are men.
Miami Sound Machine.
Oh, we're a machine.
And I love that they included Miami in the name of their band. Like this, like... cemented their identity. I feel like they're so connected to Miami. I feel like they're culturally a part of me. They're part of my DNA. Like when you grow up there, Miami Sound Machine is, I feel like, the soundtrack to your life.
That's a great point, is that like they basically made themselves into like a sports team for the city. They didn't make it like a regular band name of just like, we're Gloria Estefan and the Alligators. We love Florida stuff. No, we're like the Miami Sound Machine. It might as well be like the Florida Marlins. We are repping.
Imagine if they were just called the Florida Baseball Machine, the Miami Baseball Machine. That'd be awesome. And you'd just be like, they're just cranking out hits. Just real quick, you know, all these people are in their 20s. They churned out all these albums. But for this song, for the first time ever, they bring in a different piano player.
And this really? Guy, I didn't know this.
Yes. This blew my mind. This guy is just like a famous 50-year-old Cuban.
So he's
jazz
like a legit, yeah.
Yes, and like
hell yeah, they brought
probably,
in the ringer.
They probably grew up like listening to his music. Like maybe he's friends with their parents. Like he is the age of their parents. He's born in the 1930s.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I love imagining that. Like okay, you have these young people that put together a dance band that's like bridging Cuban jazz with pop music, and they come up with the idea for Conga. It's like it's a very simple song, but we want to like do a dance song in English that's gonna break out. Presumably that's the goal. And like they start rehearsing it, and they cut to this like the basic piano. Piano riff is called the Montuno, and they cut to the Montuno, and everybody's like, because 22-year-old Roberto like cannot get it right, and all of a sudden they realize that they're sunk.
Yeah,
and they've got to make a call. They've got to bring in a ringer.
Yeah, is it the producer? Is it like have they just seen him around town? But they pick up the phone,
and then they have to tell little Bobby like, like that sucked.
Yeah.
Sorry, your sound, man. It's not Miami.
Yeah.
Sorry, man, you're not ready for the Montuno.
Yeah, well, you know, just imagine like, bah, bah, bah. And then he's like, you know, or something. And it's just like, everyone wilts and they put their trumpets down and leave.
They're like, we got to call Paquito.
Is that his real name?
Like, you imagine that whoever is playing this Montuno is a man who's like, never performed in anything but a suit.
Yeah, he comes in like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction, the wolf. Has not taken his tuxedo off in 20 years, and he comes in as the veteran fixer. Like, do whatever I tell you to immediately. Time is of the essence.
Yeah. He does the Aretha
Where
Franklin.
Where is the piano?
He does the Aretha Franklin, which is he walks in the studio. He's like, give me my money in cash. They hand him the cash, and then he'll sit down at the piano and play.
Yes.
And then he just walks out.
Yeah, he may not know the names of the other members of the band.
No.
The tape was already on record when he walked in the door. He may have walked in after the song started, for all I know. Ba, ba, ba.
I just hope he asked for points. I hope he got points on the record.
Is his name really Paquito?
Yes. His name is Paquito Echeverria.
Oh, I should look up his like piano albums then, or his other...
I was listening to them today, and they're unfortunately hard to find, as you would expect from like a Cuban jazz player from the 1960s and 70s. But the one or two I found were great. What I really am sad about is his first American album was called ¿Qué pasa, USA?
Oh, no.
No way.
And that album is not available as far
as I'm concerned. It's like some like... white male producer was like, I know how this is going to translate to American audiences.
So you'll find me in the record stores of Greenpoint and Williamsburg and Bushwick over the next years, flipping through the jazz and Latin section, looking for ¿Qué pasa, USA?
Yeah, ¿dónde está Paquito?
Oh, that juicy, like, tonal synth drum.
I mean, the beginning of this song is just like all instrumental, which I think is pretty incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah, the fact that they don't open on like a big belty hook, which is like required for a hit in the 80s. It's just, okay, we're going to do a full minute of timbales.
And you have the chorus up front, that little chorus. And the other thing about the chorus is, I mean, we're talked a lot about the instrumentation. We've talked about Paquito. We haven't talked about the true innovation of this song, which is rhyming conga with longer. The word is longer, and someone
that.
Just said, what if we said longa?
Like it was written by a New Yorker.
Yes. Like for months, they were probably hitting their heads against the wall trying to write the song, and all of a sudden when they realized, like, what if we said longa? God.
I don't know. My strong suspicion is that is how the song came to be. This is how the song was originally germinated, is Gloria Estefan just hanging out
impossible
with her buds in the band.
Impossible.
Saying, golly, that timbale riff was fire, my friend. Ha, you won't be able to control yourself any longer. Wait just a minute.
No. What I'm curious about, I mean, Gigi's been talking about, you know, the South Beach of the 1970s and 1980s. Mm-hmm. I think about...
Okay, I'm not that old.
I think about, yeah, like the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, 1980s.
Gigi, when you were alive in the 1920s...
When Henry Flagler discovered
back
Florida...
Back when you met Paquito Echeverria in 1939, the year of his birth.
And you escaped from Fidel Castro's iron fist.
So one question I have about the conga longer rhyme is, I thought South Beach was always cool, but, you know...
Sure you did.
But Gigi was turning... us on to like 80s, 90s. It's just full of New York retirees. And she also mentioned like that like the longa. Oh, I'm just not sure I can do the conga any longer at my age. You know, you could imagine a world where an old lady came up to Gloria Estefan after a Miami Sound Machine concert, you know, 1981, 1982, said that, and just, you know, the microphone dropped out of Gloria Estefan's hand. You know, eureka moment.
Yeah, the eureka mic drop. She heard that. That unlocked the rhyme. So you're positing that we owe this song to the New York Jewish diaspora living in Miami.
Just maybe. Maybe the uncoolness of the New York retirees in the South Beach area in 1984 was the origin of the longa conga rhyme. The other possibility is just nothing rhymes with conga.
Well, we've unlocked it. I wanted to say that the chorus is like the least melodic chorus perhaps that I've ever heard. I guess it maybe has four notes. Come my baby, shake your body, do that conga. And then really that's the only line they wrote. And then they just move that down a step. Because the piano and the bass move down a step. They go boom, boom, boom. So they just move the chorus melody down a step. Come on, baby, do that conga. Okay, go down. Just go down one step. Any longer. Okay, now what if we just go back up? Come on, shake your body, do that conga. Okay, move it back down. Boop. And that's the best way the entire song goes. Everybody, gather around now. Go back up. Let your body feel the beat. As an audience member, I just don't care. It's like the building blocks of the song are just so boring. If you strip it down to like, what are the chords being played? What are the notes being played? You just heard one whole minute of timbales banging you right directly on your eardrum and you're loving it. What is it about it that just like rips you out of your chair? I think the first thing that everyone thinks of is like, oh yeah, I explode out of my chair when I hear this. Like I do a double flip and I land in the middle of the dance floor. Even the original music video for this song is literally that, like they knew what they had. The original music video for the song shows like people listening to boring classical music at the Copacabana, and then, oh no, we need Gloria Estefan to take the stage at the last minute, and they hit the first notes of ba ba ba, and all the old blue hairs like look up, and then the whole music video is people getting up out of their seat into like a conga line, and the AARP members that are there like refined their youth and so on and so forth.
Probably the inspiration for the movie Cocoon.
Yeah, probably came out within a year of each other.
Yeah, so Gloria Estefan was like, my music can make old people young. Rob Reiner watched was like, but what if it was aliens?
So was this song popular in Virginia when you were growing up?
It had to have been. I was not jamming the hits when this song came out. Evan and I have talked about this before, but honestly, the 80s are a little bit of a blind spot for me because I was just nonstop listening to my parents' CD collection, which was almost exclusively The Beatles and James Taylor. Just over and over again.
That's so funny because I feel like I knew about Miami Sound Machine before I had even ever heard of the Beatles. Like I grew up on like just a diet of Gloria Estefan.
That makes me so happy. It makes me so happy that that is the case for someone from Miami.
It makes me so happy for you. I love the Beatles. They're an amazing band. But just to know that you were formed by this song, that it would shape your worldview, and that you could burst out of your house in the morning on the way to school just thinking, I can't control myself any longer. And literally, I'm just picturing you like pirouetting and congaing down the sidewalk on your way to some picturesque elementary school where everyone just salsas all day. Just, I don't know. How does it work?
And just the incessant rhythm of da 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 da. Like, do I know any of the words of the song beyond?
And
the chorus.
You don't have to.
No. But no. I just know the rhythm of the beat.
Mm-hmm. But you do know that Gigi is a woman who lives her life with syncopation.
You know, and the first time I did listen to the Beatles, I was like, where's the tabala?
No one would counter and say that the Beatles couldn't use some timbale. Michelle, my bell. Hell yeah!
I mean, it does make one ask, what if the Beatles, instead of going to India, had just gone to Miami?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But, would have messed up the whole timeline. Maybe wouldn't have gotten LeBron.
But yeah, have you guys listened to the whole album, Primitive?
No, I haven't.
I mean, there's so many hits came off of that.
What else is on that record?
A little song called 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
okay, so they probably have some other Titanic rhyme there, like get your booty out the door or
wait,
what? How does it go?
1, 2, 3, 4, come on, baby, say you love me.
Oh, yeah, come on, baby, say you love me. Okay, yes, you're bringing it back.
There's
Thank
that.
You.
There's Dr. Beat. Oh, the rhythm is going to get you?
Yes, and oh boy, did it.
I mean, this is their breakout hit, but once this hits, it's like, before this, they're like charting a little bit in Europe, they're charting in Australia, but after this hits, it's like, she has her first number one hit on their next album, which is a song, I realized, I did not know this song until a couple years ago, Evan. I think you have it queued up. And we were writing an 80s ballad, and I kept listening to the Linda Ronstadt, Aaron Neville song from...
American Tale?
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I kept listening to that.
And that's James Ingram, though, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Linda Ronstadt, James Ingram song. And you were like, Andrew, there's one 80s ballad that's better than that, and I'm going to play it for you. And you played this song for me, and it blew my mind. And I think I had forgotten it was Gloria Estefan.
But here you go.
It blew my mind today to listen to it.
Hmm. I'm crying already.
She's so good with ballads.
Got kind of a long intro here, but I'll just say that this is like the archetype of a romantic ballad. This makes me want to slow dance at homecoming.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear. Just that little melodic line.
I was surprised you picked that ballad because
it's just like, oh.
Well, this I think was a bigger hit even than Conga because it's just so broad. It's like it's just very top 40 ready.
And also, I mean, she's already made Emilio's band change their name once. And between the Conga and this song, they dropped Miami Sound Machine. That might have been a sad day in the city of Miami. They're just like, you know what? It's Gloria that people are coming to see do the Conga. Like, this is just a Gloria Estefan solo song. All the same folks.
Kind of easier to sell a ballad if it's just like, this woman is singing a love song. It's not like a whole sound machine filled with all these dudes is singing
a love
song.
This beautiful ballad sung by the Miami Sound Machine.
By 10 men with trumpets. I do. I'm crazy about the hits that you just listed, Gigi, about like how much Gloria Estefan and her band are just being ambassadors for rhythm. Literally, the song titles are like, this is Conga, and the lyrics to this song are,
in case you didn't know,
please shake your body and you can't control yourself. Let your body feel the beat. Okay, our next song will be called Dr. Beat. This is about prescribing you a beat because you're sick with no rhythm. Okay, how about the next song will be called Feel the Rhythm? Do it. Feel the rhythm.
We know rhythm. We know sound. We know notes. We know other musical terms.
That's why anything broke out, not because it was a broader ballad, but because it was a song not about music theory and dancing. People were finally like, oh, thank God. Gloria Estefan singing about love instead of what beat I should be moving my feet on to the conga.
I think I actually became a fan of her ballads first before the dance songs. Like, I loved The Words Get in the Way song. Have you heard that one? And I was like 9 or 10 years old, but I like really felt song really resonated with me for some reason.
It's so funny that ballads hit so hard for kids, but they
when you've never talked to anyone,
who
would love you.
Oh yeah, I just
you're right. Words do get in the way of me meeting anyone.
Why won't my crush look at me?
The first song I remember listening to on repeat, I was like 3 or 4, and it's just that sad ass song. From the musical Oliver.
Where is love?
Oh, yeah.
Why is a 3-year-old listening to that song? Put on some Raffy.
Okay, we have one big problem, which is that we have not been addressing the single premise of our show, which is we have to punch up the song. What problems are we fixing? May I suggest the lyrics? If I play the song again, can we address the one-notedness of this song? Screaming at you to gather around now and let your body feel the heat.
Is it like too encouraging? Is that what you're saying? It's too motivational.
I'm not following yet, but put on the song. Walk us through this.
Well, one could have the point of view, perhaps it's me, has this point of view, that I don't like being yelled at to dance. If I just put the song on, I'm already dancing.
Evan is 60 years old for people
who can't
see.
It's not the lyrics that made you dance. It's not the commanding lyrics that made you dance. It's just how good the song is.
Yeah. The timbales already went straight to my hips.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Okay, I'm just like right where we left off. Let's give it back to this verse. Here we go. Let the music move your feet.
Your feet were already moving.
The rhythm of the island. Okay. Like gratuitous Cuba boosterism with the sugar cane so sweet.
Yeah, you think that Gloria Estefan would not be boosting Cuba.
Propaganda.
But... yeah, but then it's like, just this, the non-lyrics part is making you dance more than the lyrics. But it's like, I get why the chorus is so one note, is it's so rhythmic more complicated melody would screw it up. You have to kind of have two notes for the chorus.
Yes, the words almost just become percussion instruments. She's just hitting you with da-da-da-da. Well, sorry, we're into the second verse here. Feel the fire of desire. Agreed, I'm dancing the night away. Because tonight we're going to party. You don't have to tell me that. I'm already doing it. Ambitious, but I'm in. Okay. Hold on to what you got. I don't know what that is.
My purse?
The music hits your system. Oh, ooh. Love that little break, the scream. Great, great visual gag in the music video for that, where the timbala player just keels over, screaming.
Really?
Love it.
Oh, I love that.
Great music video. I recommend you checking out. Very silly. Very silly music video.
Yeah, usually I'm anti-sound effects in the song. Just let the music. But, you know, sometimes this is a well... Oh,
my
listen to this.
Back. Paquito! Paquito's back! Hurt me, Paquito!
I feel like I'm at a wedding right now. Like, I have, like, a cocktail in my hand, and I'm about to form a conga line.
Oh, 100%.
That's
1,000%. This song came on, and the conga line has already been started. You're in the conga line. If you're only just now getting in the conga line...
Where were you?
I mean,
weddings must have been so boring before this song came out. It was like, what did people dance to?
Yeah, it was just like, the way you look tonight. That could have been the end of the song. When you heard the horn hits, you thought maybe it was going to cut off, but they threw it to the guitar player here.
Yeah, the guitar, like, this is probably like, Paquito called his friend. He was like, one more, is this the last chorus? Are we finally wrapping it up, Gloria?
I'm not even sure. I've been carried away onto another plane by this song. I don't know where the beginning and where the end is at this point.
When I was little, I like, because the song was so fast for my like 9-year-old ears, that I think I just like was just like la 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 la. Like, you don't even like, I didn't realize they had lyrics.
But that's exactly right. Here we go. Here goes big finish.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. Oh, a cappella to finish it. Love it. I mean, the lyrics are so fast. I sing the song around the house a lot. Gee, I don't know if I mentioned that to you yet, because I recently found out that this was the first album that my wife bought with her own money.
I love
that. As like a small child who's much more interested in pop music than me, thanks to her swimming carpool and her cooler mom. You know, they're always listening to pop music. She knows the lyrics to practically every song. This is the first CD that she put up her own money and bought.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just cracked me up. I sing this song to her all the time in the house, but only with one line of lyrics. You just over and over again say,
worth it to spend money on this? Yeah, you forego ice cream for weeks to spend your allowance on this.
Yeah, but you just say, come on, shake your body, do the conga. That's the only lyric I know.
Well,
over
I didn't buy an album because my parents, I know if I mentioned, they're very strict, so they wouldn't let us like buy things like music.
That's another level of strictness. It's one thing to not let your teenagers go out to nightclubs. Yes, like, okay,
Dad,
that's normal parenting.
I want to buy a fake ID so I can go to the phone party in South Beach. There, I'm on your dad's side. Frankly.
So instead, I would just like I would be glued to the radio. I would have my cassette tape already, and then if I like heard the song come on like Y100, which was like the pop station to listen to back then, and then I would just like hit record.
Yes,
and that was my album.
Okay, you were not allowed to even buy the music, lest it might hit home the instructions that you should dance and feel your body.
Maybe
and the
they
fire
were
desire.
Afraid. Yeah, they were afraid what was going to happen.
So you bootlegged it.
Yeah, and the worst was like if you get the song like after the piano part comes up, like you have to get the song from the beginning.
I love this because you've created a contraband version of the song in Miami, and that's the main thing that we haven't talked about with regards to Miami yet. What else is going on in Miami in the 80s?
I mean, they're talking about the music getting in your system in the song, but there's
some other
stuff getting into
illicit
systems.
Yeah, is this like a PG
rated
podcast?
We're talking about the television show
Miami Vice.
Love that show.
Which is the one thing that's, I mean, I'm realizing is kind of poking holes in our theory that Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine
revitalized
South Beach cool. Is also Miami Vice is happening, and everybody loves Miami Vice.
And Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And maybe drugs.
Are they in? What?
What?
Drugs?
I don't know. It's a theory that's floating around.
But I can't believe we basically haven't talked about how basically the rapid fire lyrics of the chorus are basically like somebody wrote this immediately after snorting a huge pile of cocaine.
Oh, that is horrible.
I know you can't control yourself any longer. Woo-hoo!
Right. Maybe Paquito did not show up to the recording studio and demand to be paid in cash before he played the piano solo. Maybe he showed up.
I don't like where this is headed. I don't like this where this is headed. Yeah.
Gigi denies it. No one is on drugs in this song, says Gigi.
Yes. Musicians doing drugs? What are you talking about?
Do not mess
musicians
with my childhood.
Musicians doing cocaine in the 80s? No.
Yeah, you're taping contraband versions of Conga. You have contraband
music.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst is like when the DJ is like, you know, introducing the song and they're speaking over the...
This song is pretty long. They could also, unfortunately, fade it out. You know, they could fade to another song. Or just like we already talked about, the horn hit right at the top of the song is one of the best parts of the song. Very unlikely that you're going to get that on your tape. It's not like the DJ is going to say, and up next, in 5 seconds, I'll be playing Gloria Estefan and the Sound Machines. Smash it.
No, he's not announcing it.
No, it's just starting on the hornet and you're missing it.
And if you're like a kid and you're sleeping on the job and you go to the bathroom and you miss it. Oh my gosh, it was very stressful.
I really vividly remember a summer that I was trying to do the same move with Beck's breakout hit, Loser. And there was something at the end of the song that I really liked. And K92 just kept cutting away to other songs before they got to the end of Beck's Loser. And it made me so mad. I could never get the end of Loser on my tape.
Wow.
Oh, so should I mention now, talk about the time that I met Gloria Estefan?
What?
And Emilio?
How are we? We are 30 minutes plus into this pod. We're talking about this song just because you're from Miami and you buried the lead.
I have a personal connection.
Evan, do we have a record scratch in the soundboard yet?
No.
This should be the first thing added to any soundboard.
No, the only thing I have loaded in the soundboard is Senator Palpatine saying, "We will watch your career with great interest."
We will watch your career with great interest.
Which is what Gloria Estefan said to Gigi Lee.
Mm-hmm. I have a recording of what Gloria Estefan said to Paquito when he stepped in.
That's fire.
That's a direct recording.
Alternately, you know, Gigi says, I ran into
Gloria Estefan.
Then you hit Gary Busey.
Utah! Give me two.
And Emilio. It's two Estefans.
So let me like emphasize like how big a deal this is to like a teenager in Miami, because I feel like you don't see, you know, celebrities very often. It's not like I was hanging out on South Beach, like I said. And the biggest celebrities from Miami were probably like Miami Heat players, Don Shula, Dan Marino, and Gloria Estefan. And so I was volunteering at a Pavarotti concert of all things, as like a volunteer usher. And he was doing a concert on Miami Beach, and it was outdoors, and I had to like escort guests to their seats. And I remember seeing Gloria Estefan walking up with Emilio. And I wasn't the usher assigned to her for whatever reason, but...
You were doing VIPs, but you were assigned to Don Shula.
But I did get to see her, like, in the flesh, and she was, like, my height, which made me love her even more. And she just looked like a nice person. She just, like, oozed, like, approachability. I don't know. She just seemed like...
Mm-hmm. And I just love that she's, like, Pavarotti's coming to town. Like, gotta go.
she loves music.
Gotta go. I will say that your setup for where you ran into Gloria Estefan... I was working as a volunteer usher at a Pavarotti concert, seating VIPs. I cannot believe that you were allowed to do it, because it sounds exactly like a fake premise a teenager would make up to go to a foam party.
Like, Mom, Dad, Pavarotti's like, coming to town.
Mom, Dad, Pavarotti's coming to town, and I've got to be a volunteer usher for Don Shula.
I love very chaste classical music.
Yeah, I was a fan of opera. At 16.
I just feel like if I was your dad and I was as strict as you've said he is, I would have been like, absolutely not. You're trying to go to a foam party.
Well, I should mention, I went to a performing arts high school in Miami. I went for theater. And that's how I think we got a hold of this like Pavarotti opportunity.
You got the hot gig.
So you had some sort of pamphlet. You had some sort of official pamphlet from your school to prove this is not...
Yes. Yeah.
Like a kind of sitcom level fiction that you've made up. You're going to come home covered in suds.
I also think it's interesting that they couldn't afford to like pay people to usher this Pavarotti concert. Oh, anyway, that's a different story.
Oh, that's major industry gimmick. Get the high schoolers that like want to be in the performing arts to do this for free, please. And they're going to believe, like you surely did, that this is your setup. Like you're going to meet Pavarotti backstage and be like, would you read my screenplay? don't you think there was probably a moment where like Luciano Pavarotti and Gloria Estefan like saw each other like in the front row and on stage and like gave each other a knowing wink? We are two members of the firmament, the global Illuminati of great vocalists. I see you, Pavarotti. You know, he interrupts his own Nessun Dorma to be like, you know, shake a body. I see you, Gloria.
And it makes me want to, I feel the beat.
Maybe he's not adding it into the lyrics, but he's doing a little crowd work between songs. And just like, here in Miami,
it's great to be here in Miami, ciao.
I feel like perhaps I need to move my body to the beat. Just the crowd goes wild.
Massive
Gloria
laugh.
Stands up. You know.
He gets a huge laugh. She turns around, waves to the audience.
Yeah.
Great Miami moment.
Man, I wish that's what happened.
So you didn't actually meet her. You saw her from afar.
From afar, like a creepy teenager. I wanted to get her autograph, but I had to be professional.
Yeah, she autographed your heart.
You're right. Now, Evan, but note for ourselves, for our future selves, got to get a record scratch in the soundboard for the next time a guest at almost the end of an episode tells us they've almost seated an artist at a Pavarotti concert.
Okay, yeah, understood.
Got to have the record scratch. For just moments of shock.
The note is received strongly. Okay. I have fallen down on the soundboard job. I have not put in Gary Busey's quote into the theme song.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next note.
Yeah, and I hope that everyone in their rates and reviews of this podcast put in suggestions for what types of air horns and record scratches and fart sound effects I should put in the soundboard.
I mean, I hope you say this podcast is so good. This episode was so good. I hope that these guys give me two.
Oh, Lord.
So, Gigi, we're going to think about our conversation here. We have a lot to marinate on, I would say. Mm-hmm, Pavarotti, cocaine, mm-hmm. Don Shula, Paquito.
Ace Ventura. I'm just naming, like, Miami references.
Yeah, and we're gonna come up with, what we like to say is we're going to come up with a version that is irrefutably better than this.
Yeah, no one would ever question what we've done as improvement.
You're going to hear it, and you're going to say, you're going to go home, you're going to visit your parents, you're going to find that mixtape, and you're going to delete the version you have on it and put ours on it. Mm-hmm. That's how good it's going to be.
Yes, okay.
So we'll be right back after this with the punch.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam. Gigi, it's so good to see you again. We recorded in person, but you're out of town, so we're over Zoom today. But it's nice to see your smiling face.
Great to see you guys. Thanks to Omicron, I will be away from New York. Well, until next week.
Wow, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Delaying my trip by 1 week.
So ever since we talked to you, Gigi, Miami has been on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been thinking about Miami a lot. You know, we talked about how Gloria Estefan and the Sound Machine just typified a moment in time in Miami, and also that it might have been because of this song, dare we say it, that people found out about Miami. That people from LeBron James to Luciano Pavarotti came to Miami solely because of the song Conga and not because of things like
the
weather
beach.
or the TV show Miami Vice or
Golden Girls.
Or the lack of sales tax. Not sales tax, income tax.
They were like, I got to see what Miami's all about thanks to this song.
Yes. And as we thought about Miami present day, honestly, is Miami too cool now?
Does it still have the beat, the rhythm?
Are there too many people in Miami
Could
now?
Could be too many people.
Too many cool
We've
people
gone
doing
too far.
Art Basel. I still don't know how to pronounce it correctly, and I'm from Miami. Is it Art Basel? Art Basel? Yeah. The art scene is too good and too hip, and
But that's the disconnect. All these outsiders are going to Art Basel or Art Basel, but the true Miamians, is Art Basel for them? So we spun up a punch-up to scare people away from.
Well, that to me was the other problem that needed solving with this song. As a fan of the song, like to me, there's nothing this song can't do. It gets me out on the dance floor. It makes me feel happy. It heals my relationships. What is one thing that this song can't do? Scare me or make me feel
wow.
bad.
Wow, I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah.
Can I punch up this song to solve that problem and also scare people away from Miami? So that made me think of this wonderful trope in TV and movies these days.
Oh, say no more, Evan. Say no more. Let's just spin up the punch.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the conga. I know you can't control yourself.
Oh, man.
The Hans Zimmer right up front. The bois.
I feel like I'm in a Michael Mann movie. Is that what you're going for?
I was going for Black Mirror trailer.
For me, this is like Transformers 8, and you're watching Optimus Prime destroy all of Miami.
Yeah, it's in slow-mo. Yeah. Or Miami Vice 8.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait, the Transformers are a symbol of global warming.
Whose voice is that?
It's Scary Baby. Scary Baby voice.
We reanimated a doll using voodoo? Goosebumps. This is too scary.
Haunted piano. Wow.
That's
I have goosebumps.
It.
That's all gave me goosebumps.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So tell me about like your influences. Like I felt like I was hearing like a little bit of like, I was getting like Phantom of the Opera vibes.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I was just thinking of like a new Netflix original is coming out and they always release a trailer,
yes.
which is a like sad cover of a happy 80s song. And they just get,
oh my God,
like yeah. a sad baby to sing it.
Yeah. What was the Donnie Darko song? The Tears for Fears song in Donnie Darko.
Yeah, Mad World.
Mad World. That, I feel like that yeah. was kind of like the, that changed the palette all of a sudden of horror movie trailers.
I heard one in Black Mirror that was like a Nirvana cover, but sung by a sad teenage girl that's like, here we are now, entertainers. And it sort of like automatically pulls your heartstrings and you're like, this is a gimmick,
right.
but it is working on me.
And it makes every lyric immediately scary.
Very eerie.
Where you're like, wait, we are being entertained, but it's bad.
So that was my main influence. So I wanted to have a scary baby sing it, but I just did it myself. That's me doing my, I'll call it the Marcel the Shell voice.
Oh my, I love it. Yeah, it's like.
Come on, baby, do the.
It is Marcel the Shell.
Yeah. I sleep inside a slice of bread.
His next album is, yeah, a bunch of like Netflix trailers.
I'm gonna suck your soul.
Missed opportunity for Jenny Slate.
I could totally see like yeah, Netflix show characters staring out a window of their like 28th floor apartment building in Brickell, plotting their next move.
Yeah, but everything is flooded. The title of the movie is like Hurricane.
But my other influence is how I really love all of the amazing piano work in the original song. But what could be scarier than when you take jazz too far?
When you take it, I used to think that wasn't possible. And then I heard this and I was like, wow, there's such a thing as like taking jazz too far.
This is extreme jazz.
Too jazzy.
Yeah. When I played the piano ostinato in two hands, a half step apart. And that's too far. That's Whoa. Over the line.
Whoa, I don't even know that reference, and I was like, that sounds like too far.
I'll say there's kind of like a numerology horror movie thing going on there, because if you were playing the ostinato an octave apart,
mm-hmm.
the music theory heads in the chat will know that's 12 half steps.
That's right.
All of a sudden, if you're playing them one half step away,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's 13 half steps.
Whoa.
And so is that what like horror movie music is? Is that how that's composed?
Yes. You
through
just
numerology.
Through numerology and occult rituals is how they compose.
Yeah.
Horror movies.
We have it on good authority. We signed an NDA, but that Hans Zimmer does have the number 13 tattooed on the doll that he reanimated with voodoo. And
yes.
that gives him his Hans Zimmer powers.
That's why he gets so many Oscars, that guy.
Yes.
Well, if I ever write a horror movie, I would love y'all to do the soundtrack and use this. I'll set it in Miami.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a massive compliment since I know that you're a horror fan.
Love horror. And it's hard to do horror movie music. I mean, and there's so many iconic sounds and songs. I'm just thinking of like John Carpenter and...
It is hard to do horror soundtracks because when you're sitting at the piano, you're like, do I mash all the keys with my elbows or my knees? Which one is going to get the right level of dissonance? I could just bang all of these keys. That's what the kind of decision you're making.
Yeah. What conveys fear? Yeah. What's the right body part to use?
And the equation is dissonance plus baby voice, at least in the 2010s and 2020s. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Yeah. I think you could teach a music class, like horror soundtrack 101. And you're just like, yeah, just add some creepy baby voice. Maybe some like, guitar, acoustic guitar.
Yeah. You no longer need to know how to construct chords. You pick up the violin, and if you don't know how to play it, it sounds better for a horror movie. I'm out here blaspheming. I'm out here spouting heresy. I'm going to get so many DMs from film composers.
No, I think John Carpenter is going to reach out to y'all.
He's going
to
say, I've done the music for every single one of my movies.
And they're
but
awesome.
But it's finally time. I've made all of the best horror movies of the last 30 years. My name is John Carpenter. I did Halloween. I did The Thing. But only after hearing your baby voice conga composition have I decided it's time for me to pass off the reins on the music only. Next thing you know, you're making his next movie. Either you do such a good job on the music that the next John Carpenter movie is like, why don't you just direct this one and write it too?
My challenge to fans out there is to pull this punch up and send us a link to your YouTube video where you make a scary trailer about Miami.
Oh my gosh, please. I can't wait to see that.
That's possible, right? Just clips from Miami Vice, but you make them black and white and slow-mo, you know? Wow. And then you're halfway there already.
Yeah. And think of a fun hashtag so we can look for them.
You know, some people will accuse us and say that this was a punch sideways, but I'm standing my ground and saying that this is a punch up. We're punching the song up to do something that it could not do before.
Which was to make people not want to go to Miami and make people scared of dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's correct.
Well, Gigi, thank you so much for coming back to listen to our punch up. It's been such a pleasure to have you and, dare I say, learn so much about Miami. And we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back with your walk-in music.
Let's punch it.
Punch it! Gigi, thank you so much for being here. And it is, you brought your tape. You brought your tape to delete your old Gloria Estefan recording, which I appreciate that you had the faith in us that our version would be better.
I'm blown away.
Yeah.
I was skeptical, but you proved me wrong. I'm eating my words.
But please check her out. Gigi Lee, you can look up her pieces on The New Yorker and The New York Times. You can check her out on Twitter. I believe your handle is, I think I remember this off the top of my head, The Genius, JINIUS.
Yes.
Am I right?
I think that, yeah, it's pretty obvious.
With a THE at the front.
Yeah.
So when people, yeah, when you think of me,
impressed.
When
you
my
were
name.
You're impressed with the punch up, but you're like, yeah, of course you remember my Twitter handle. It's really good and catchy.
So if you like puns, yeah, please.
I just wanted to say that you can't have a punch up without pun.
Wow, makes you think.
You know, it's like there's no I in team, but there is a pun in a punch up.
Gigi, we end the show every week with a little segment we're calling walk-in music. And walk-in music, we're asking our guests to imagine a song that they would play when they walked into an iconic event in their life. Maybe it's just a great party. Maybe it's their wedding reception. Maybe it's their very first WWF match. Mm-hmm, they're about to smash someone over the head with a folding chair. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have to do this one week, and we were just going to do it, have our guests do it every week, but Evan has been making me do it every week. Then I thought I would just be able to do the same song every week, and that didn't really make sense. Wouldn't be very entertaining. So
I said no.
I'm starting to have to dig pretty deep into the well, but here is my walk-in song. I'm going to start off while you think about yours. Evan, if you cue up the track.
Yeah.
Here's my walk-in song, and I'm going to describe to you. It kind of has a long intro, so I'm going to describe the scenario over the intro. I'm in a wetsuit coming out of the ocean, Pacific Ocean, El Segundo, Manhattan Beach. Walk out in the sunset, sweep my hair out from my eyes, my surfboard's under my arms. Pretty good day surfing. Maybe I'll go eat some ramen or something. Wait, my eyes lock. Across the beach, someone I used to love. There with her family. Maybe some kids or a dog. Maybe she's one of those weird people that calls her dog their kid. It's probably why I broke up with her. We make eye contact, lock eyes. My surfboard's under my arms.
She has no idea who you are.
Yeah, she's no idea who I am.
You've grown too much.
I walk over to her and I say, hey, there's a little stand around the corner. It sells the best meatball subs in Los Angeles. Could you go get me a meatball sub?
And then she walks off to do your bidding.
And I say,
Utah!
Then we rob a bank. We rob a bank together. That's my walk-in music. That's my walk-in song, guys.
Wow.
Honestly, I swear to God,
that was moving.
I hadn't thought of the Utah Gimme 2 before I started, but it's just where we ended up. I really got Busey on the brain today.
Any scene that you paint so cinematically is going to bring you back to Busey. And I know that for sure.
Gimme 2. So that's Jackson Browne's Late for the Sky, one of my favorite tunes.
Late for the Sky. You have broadened the idea of walk-in music here by what you just did, and I'm okay with this continuing in perpetuity.
I'm running out of ideas, Evan. this is a monster you've created.
Well, in this case, you turned it from walk-in music in real life to a soundtrack. Right. You just soundtracked a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
Was I walking into the beach? Was I walking out of the ocean? Or was I walking into your life?
Wow. It's a heartbreaker. That song makes me cry.
Yeah, I just love that song. It's a really good song.
So on that sentimental...
Gosh, so I have to follow that?
Yes. Yeah. What tragic... romantic song did you bring, Gigi, that's going to make me cry?
Okay. Oh, so should I set the scene?
You can set the scene. This is up to you. This is up
okay.
to you.
Well, I'll set the scene. I won't say what the song is. But yeah, I've always wanted to perform at Carnegie Hall. You know, maybe do like a comedic storytelling show. That would be a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's such a venerable institution.
I've heard of it. It's a classic venue.
So this is the song that I would like to introduce me as I walk on stage.
Y'all gonna make me lose my
Thank you, Carnegie Hall.
Yes. And nobody's more lit for this song than somebody who came to a comedy storytelling show. They're gonna lose their minds.
The VIP ushers all applaud. The VIP high school ushers.
Ira Glass is loving it so far.
He's in the front row. He stands up to the crowd, turns around and waves.
This is Party Up by DMX, of course, which is... I mean, you've basically picked a classic walk-in song. Like, this is very usable by anyone, anywhere. You always want to roll this song, but I had forgotten until I was pulling this song for your playback that the music video for this song... Yeah, like, eventually, I guess you get to, like, more typical hip-hop imagery of, like, driving around in your car and going to parties and whatever. But the opening of the song in the music video is DMX getting really mad at an ATM.
Yes, he's like frustrated with the customer service. He's gonna lose
his mind. I had forgotten that, and just like the universality of being really grumpy at customer service.
Yeah, just like, it starts off like a Seinfeld episode and progresses.
I love that someone pitched that to DMX, and I love that DMX was like, yes.
Yes.
That's the video.
I hate it when the ATM is out of order.
I love the idea of you entering your Carnegie Hall to that show.
Thank you.
I hope that just you even thinking about that is kind of like in a vision board way going to make it happen, Gigi. And I honestly, I even feel like I fell down on the job introducing you, because that's kind of how I would say we met, is you used to run a storytelling show here in Williamsburg that I would attend. I loved it. I performed at it a couple times. Great show.
At the now dearly departed Over the Eight Bar.
At the dearly departed Over the Eight. And we became buddies at that show. But I feel like you were a little bit of a storytelling mentor to me. And that's why I'll be several rows behind Ira Glass applauding at your car.
Well, this segment is nothing but like putting positive energy into the world. Every time someone brings their walking music to this show, it's all about putting this vision into the world so that the world is going to make it happen for you later. What is that book about, just like believing in
the secret?
This, yeah, the walk-in music is like the secret of podcasting. We're declaring that this is going to happen, and then you're going to be at Carnegie Hall, and you're going to flip this track. People are going to burst their feet. Then they calm down. You're ready to take the mic, and you look down, and there in the front row is Luciano Pavarotti.
And Gloria and Emilio Estefan. It's a full circle moment. Oh,
right,
my gosh.
Right between them, Ira Glass. What energy are you bringing to the world with your walk-in?
I'm sad I have to follow that. But this is a song that I've loved for a long time since I found it. It's a cover of John Prine through a lesser-known artist named Swamp Dog. The song is Sam Stone by Swamp Dog. You might be familiar with him more recently. He was on a Bon Iver record. But he did this song in the 70s.
Swamp Dog was on a Bon Iver record?
Yes.
Swamp Dog?
Yes, yeah, Swamp Dog from the 70s. Wow. But he's still out there. He's 70 or 80 now. And it's just an incredibly sad song, but musically, it's tight. It just puts me in my spot. It's like, this is my favorite version of listening to a sad song. And so I'm using this song to walk into a congressional hearing where I'm testifying about the sad state of big tech.
Okay.
And I want people to know that I'm serious
big
about
tech
this.
Specifically.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm an industry expert, maybe a whistleblower. Even. Oh. And they're like, please welcome to the stand.
As a YouTuber, you're like, I was a part of the attention economy, and now I regret my actions.
Yes.
Asking teens across the world to click that bell.
I regret everything. I want to take it back and do my part to redeem society. Would you please take the stand and raise your right hand?
This is great for you walking in. You're putting your hand on the Bible.
This is literally walking in, because it takes you a while to get from those back doors up
and
to the
one
that
nation
little table.
Under God. That you say that, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you probably got to swear on a Bible. I don't know. If it's a big tech hearing, you swear on a PDF of the Bible.
There's a PDF of the Bible.
Sam Stone came home. Okay. To his wife and family after serving in the conflict. We're not quite there yet, but one reason I weirdly am into this for hearing about big tech is because this is a song about heroin. I feel like that is a really great crossover. The kind of like,
yeah, the song is about a Vietnam vet who gets hooked on morphine and heroin. It's like the saddest song in history.
Right. And you're testifying about kids across the world who've gotten hooked
on
Call of Duty videos on YouTube.
Yeah, and I want all these senators to know I'm really serious. There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes.
Oh, God.
This is basically a perfect song. I guess I imagined this scene just so that I would have a reason to play it, but I guess I basically am bringing this to you as an unpunchable jam.
I'm imagining Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, just tears streaming down his face. Please, if you're at home, do a Google image search of John Kennedy. of Louisiana.
Because not the, I feel not like, the former president, current former senator.
Current senator. That's his name, right? John Kennedy. He's not John F. Kennedy. He just has the. I think he would have the best senator face for crime.
I'm Googling
and
it.
And also his political beliefs are very far away from Evans. But when this song comes on, I think it would just really, really get to him. Mm. Oh, great pick, Evan.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. I thank you, and I offer you, our listener, my gratitude for joining us today. And I beg of you that you follow our guest, Gigi Lee, on Twitter, at the genius, spelled J-I-N-I-U-S.
And please go drop us a review, or if you're not subscribed to the podcast on Spotify or in your podcast app, please do it. We're pretty new at this, and we'll take all the help we can get, guys. We really appreciate you listening.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the biz, we say, please sub the pod.
Really?
No. Well, I mean, somebody says that. But also, as long as we're telling you things to do, just giving you work and instructions, I demand of you, I implore of you, come on, shake your body, baby. Do the conga. Let your body feel the heat. Everybody gather around now. Don't you worry if you can't dance. Let the music move your feet.
Let's punch
okay.
it.
Do it.
Okay, I got it.
Do it. Feel the fire of desire. Do it. You better get yourself together and hold on to what you got. Give me two. Listen to me. Once the music hits your system, there's no way you're going to stop.
That was a HeadGum Original.